I want to challenge us with an odd thought this morning. We want to look this morning at the idea that God wants rebels. I know that seems unusual for us to think about that, because generally we think about the fact that God wants people to obey Him, wants people to be in subjection to Him and not rebel against Him. But if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, I think we'll begin to see what I mean by that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, let's think about what he says at the beginning of that verse. He says, "In whom the God of this world." Well, now when we think about this world, we think about our God creating it and ruling over it and Him being God. But if you'll notice, that G is a little g. That's not our God that he's talking about. He says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe." Well, who is that God of this world that he's talking about? Well, the God of this world is Satan. And Satan has blinded the minds of people who don't believe. He's trying to keep them from coming to Christ and hearing about and understanding and seeing the light of the gospel as he describes it there. And if Satan is the God of this world, then we're behind enemy lines. If we're God's children, we have to rebel against the God of this world so that we can serve the true and living God. So notice 8 things this morning that God wants us to rebel against. First of all, God wants rebels who refuse to follow the worldly crowd. All around us, we talked about this some in class this morning, that there are always those in the world that are trying to corrupt things that God intended for good. And God wants people who will rebel against that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, Peter says that if we're Christians, people are going to think us a little odd. He says there, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." So he says the people around us are going to think that we're strange because we don't do the things that they do. We don't go to the same excesses that they do. We don't riot like they do. And because of that, they're going to speak evil of us. Do people think we're different? Do people speak evil of us because we don't do and don't approve of the same things that the worldly people around us approve of? Or are we like the young lady who was going off to college and her mother told her, she said, "You know, you've been raised in a Christian home and we've always gone to church, and but when you get out there to college," she said, "there are going to be people there who aren't Christians. And there are going to be people there who don't like Christians. And they may make fun of you, and they may tease you, and they may say mean and ugly things to you." And the girl said, "Oh, don't worry, Mama, they'll never know." Perhaps too many of us are trying to be like that young lady. We're trying to live so close to the world, to be so much like the world that they never notice really that we're any different than they are. We have to watch out for that, because God wants rebels who refuse to follow the worldly crowd. Just because something is fashionable doesn't mean that it's right. There are many clothing options out there that are fashionable, but they're not modest. Not according to God's standards. And we've got to think about the way we dress, There are things that are said, that are common everyday phrases, that are said constantly all over the United States by people. But they're not right. They're not righteous. They're not godly things to say. And our speech needs to be different. There are places that people go, and they go there every day. And they engage in all kinds of activities that aren't right. And we need to avoid that. Because our actions need to be different. The places we frequent should be different than the places that the worldly people go. There are so many ways in which we need to be different from the world. And yet so many times, because we don't want to feel like we're an outcast, we don't want to feel like we're left out, we follow along with the world. And it can't be that way. Oil and water shouldn't mix. We need to watch out, because it's far too easy to follow the worldly crowd and just do the same things that everyone else does. But God calls us to rebel against that, to be different from them, not to do the same things that they do. But secondly, God wants rebels who will refuse to follow the religious crowd. You know, there is a lot of religion out there. A lot of different kinds of religion out there. And a lot of different things done by a lot of those different religious groups out there. Some things are similar from one group to another. But God calls on us to follow Him no matter what everyone else is doing religiously. We have to focus on being obedient to our God. Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 6, Paul says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And yet our world, in the religious world around us, we hear all the time, "Well, you've got your faith and I've got mine." But the Bible says there's one faith. And we see in the religious world all sorts of different baptisms. There's Holy Spirit baptism, there's sprinkling, there's pouring, there's immersion. And yet the Bible says there's one baptism. We see all around us people in the religious world saying, "Well, you know, they serve Buddha, they follow Buddha, they follow Muhammad, they follow Allah, we follow Jehovah, it's okay, we're all serving different gods, but we're going to all get to the same place in the end." But the Bible says there's one God, there's one Lord. And then we see people all the time, even that all are claiming to be Christian and worshiping God in different ways in different churches, and they say, "Well, one church is as good as another. Well, all the churches are going to the same place." And yet, the Ephesian church says there is one body. See, God wants us to rebel against the religious crowd and not follow and do what is popular in our society. I was talking to some people a week or so ago about the fact that they were seeing some changes in their churches where they were. And they weren't real sure whether they liked them or not. And I asked them whether they thought God liked those changes or not. I said, "Well, you know, it's all about what gets people there, and if the only reason people are doing those changes is just to get people there, then that's not good. But as long as they're trying to serve God, it doesn't matter what they do if it brings more people in and gets them to come to church to worship God." But we've got to understand, God told us what He wants in worship and what He expects in worship. And it doesn't matter if all of the people in the world vote for something different. God still gets to decide what He wants and what He'll accept. You see, we seem to think sometimes that our worship to God is a gift that we're giving Him. And when there's a gift, the person who gets the gift and gives the gift gets to decide what the gift is. And so we think that way in terms of worship. Well, I'm worshiping God, and so since I'm giving Him this, I can decide what I'm going to give Him. But worship is not a gift. It is a requirement for coming to God. And worshiping Him and serving Him, that term serving is one we don't like. But you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again because it's so obvious in our world that we live in. We went to a restaurant and ate. We looked at the menu and someone came to serve us. We had our server, waiter, waitress, we sometimes call them, but they're a server. They come to serve you when you're there. And we told the server what we wanted. And the server was very careful to ask it, well, how do you want that? Do you want this? Do you want that? How would you like this? And we told, this is what we want. And the server went away and came back with what we wanted, what we had asked for. When God tells us what He wants, if we're going to serve Him, we better come back with what He asked for. And yet in the religious crowd around us, people constantly are just saying, well, this is good enough. This is what I like. This is the way I want it. And so this is what I'm going to give God. But God wants rebels who refuse to follow the religious crowd. He also wants rebels who will fight to the death against the God of this world. Now, we're not talking about a physical battle. We're not going to take up arms and start killing people. That's not what we're talking about. In Ephesians 2:2, he says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That spirit that's working in those people who are disobedient to God, who are faithful to the prince of the air, another name for the god of this world, Satan. But Ephesians 6:12, he explains a little further, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not here fighting a physical war. We're fighting a spiritual war. And spiritual warfare is very different from physical warfare. Because in spiritual warfare, you can't kill your enemy. You have to convert your enemy. And the danger in spiritual warfare is not that your enemy will kill you, but that your enemy will corrupt you and convert you. So when we fight this spiritual battle, we need to fight till our physical death, but in the spiritual arena. And so many times, we lay our armor down, and spiritually, we are not prepared to defend ourselves against the army that Satan has in place. Put the article in the bulletin this week about a young man who was expelled from school because he said that homosexuality was wrong in a class. And I think about that young man and I wonder, I don't know anything about him. I don't know his religious background or what, except that it does say he was involved in a church, but it doesn't tell what one. But I wonder about that young man, and I wonder, after this experience, the next time the topic of homosexuality is brought up by one of his teachers in class, is he going to speak up? And last time he spoke up, it got him in trouble. Is he going to speak up again? Or is he going to back down and say, well, you know, if I say something, I'm going to get in trouble again? And what about us? Are we ready to stand up and speak up? Or are we afraid? Are we going to back down when we're confronted by the enemy? You see, nobody, that young man didn't hurt anyone. He didn't throw a rock or throw a punch or pull a knife. He certainly didn't shoot a gun. All he did was express the most threatening thing in the world to the people who are following the God of this world. He expressed the truth. The truth is the weapon that we have in our battle against the spiritual wickedness in high places. The truth is what we have to speak up and act out in our lives. But too many of us will shy away and will blend in. But see, God needs rebels. Rebels are not undercover secret CIA agent type people. Rebels are the ones that are out there fighting. They're not trying to infiltrate and blend in and pretend to be the others around them. No, we're going to be rebels. We're going to rebel against the God of this world. The fourth thing we want to notice is that God wants rebels who won't sell out for any price. They commit to their cause without regard to financial costs involved. You know, rebels sometimes, they make some sacrifices. You know, we were talking about camping this past week and said, well, you were in a tent, you were really roughing it. But rebels sometimes, man, they go without food sometimes. They sleep out in the ground. They sleep in a cave. They sleep under a tree. Rebels will do anything to further their cause. And a true rebel, it doesn't matter how much he's offered, because his cause is more important to him than money. You know, when they were looking for Osama bin Laden, they were offering all kinds of rewards. And I'm guessing that somebody at some point finally did give them a little information to get to him. But you know, it was not any of the people who were loyal to his cause. It wasn't the ones who were true rebels. They were never going to sell him out, because they believed the same thing he believed. Now Jesus talks about the fact that there in the first century there was going to be persecution coming, and he said that son is going to turn against father, father against son, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and daughter against mother-in-law. And he talked about the danger of that, and that one was going to betray his own family. What if they came knocking on your door next week and they said, we know that you're a Christian. We know, we saw you at the Faraday Church of Christ last Sunday. We saw your vehicle there. We ran the plates on it. And we know you're one of them. We'll let you go if you'll tell us who else is down there. Or we'll give you money if you'll tell us all of the members of that church down there. We'll give you $1 million per name. What about it? What would we do? What would we say? God wants us to be the kind of rebel who won't sell out for any price. Not for our own safety, not for money, not for an acquittal or a reprieve, but no. We'll be the kind of people who will go all the way to our grave before we would turn on someone else. You see, one of the things about rebels is they're a pretty tight-knit group and they're pretty loyal to each other. And God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be loyal to each other. He wants us to stand up for each other, defend each other, and protect each other. Certainly there were some in the first century that Jesus knew weren't going to do that. And he prophesied that some, they were going to turn each other in. And history bears that out, that there were some who were turncoats that turned others in so that they could save their own skins. There were some that denied Christ so that they could save their own lives. And what did Jesus say about that? Whoever saves his life shall lose it. Now, we're not to that point yet. As far as I know, I said I've been gone a week, so maybe things changed drastically in the week I was gone. But I don't think anybody's going to come pounding on your door this week. But someday they might. Someday that might happen. And we think, I could do that. But you know what? What about when your coworker or your friend or neighbor or family member asks you about the church? Do you say derogatory things about some of the members? Well, that's different. That's not the same. That's even worse because there's not even any real threat there. There's not even any danger. There's not even anything that's a reward for that. And yet sometimes we turn on each other in that situation. But God wants us to be rebels who won't sell out for any price. God wants us to be rebels who reject sinful societal norms. There are many things in our society that are considered to be normal. But just because something is commonplace, just because the majority of people do something or believe something or say something, that doesn't make it normal. God defines normal. And it doesn't matter how many people say so. If it's sinful, we have to rebel against that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." He says, you know, one day, if we're living like we should, even if people are speaking evil against us now, even if they call us hate mongers and everything because we don't approve of homosexual marriage or homosexuality, even if they call us prejudice and all sorts of cruel things that they say about us, the fact of the matter is, if we're living godly lives, one day, they'll have to admit that they were the ones that were wrong. But we've got to reject the sinful societal norms. You know, the thing about rebels is they separate themselves. They don't get involved with everybody else. I know that there's an area in which we have dealings with people out there in the world, and we're around sinful things. We can't avoid it in this world. Everywhere we go, there's sin all around us. But we don't involve ourselves in that sin. Because we're rebels. We're rebelling against the God of this world. We stay away from those things. Everybody around us, they may think that it's okay to have sexual relations outside of marriage. They may think it's okay to drink and to enjoy alcohol socially. And they may think that it's okay to talk and gossip, and they may think it's okay. There's a lot of, you can go down the list. They think it's okay. It's normal in society. It may be legal to have abortions. It may be okay in our society to do this and that. And you go on down the list. But it's not okay for us because we're rebels. We're not going to be like everybody else. We're going to swim upstream. We're going to go the other direction. But then we see also that God wants rebels who won't compromise with the enemies of the cross. Now, there are enemies out there. And we come in contact with them every day. And God calls on us to not compromise. You know, often throughout this time, for the past 10 years that we've been having this battle in Afghanistan and then into Iraq, and all of these things have been going on, and they've been talking to some of these rebel groups to try to get them to compromise. And you know what? Those rebel groups don't compromise. Those rebel groups have one goal in mind: kill, destroy, win the war. That's what they're doing it. They're fighting to the death. And they're dying for what they believe in. What about us as Christians? Are we willing to compromise with our enemies and sacrifice our relationship with God in order to have a relationship with those who are enemies of the cross of Christ? Acts 5 and verses 28 and 29, the apostles certainly weren't. There, the council says to them, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in His name?" Notice, they didn't tell them, "You can't believe in Him." They just said, "You're not supposed to teach in His name anymore. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." In verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." You know, all around us there are people who thought, well, we can get together, we can have unity if you'll just compromise on this issue. And they don't say compromise, but they just say, you know, if you'll just accept this, it's a fact, you can't deny it anymore, you just need to accept this. And if you'll accept this, then we can get together and we can be together. God's rebels don't compromise. They stand firm in what they believe. Then we want to notice also, though, that God wants rebels who persuade others to follow their cause. You know, with rebel groups, a lot of times they're kind of small. And a lot of times they're getting killed off. And yet it's amazing. In 10 years, you know, it started out, we thought, oh, there's just this little rebel group over there in Afghanistan fighting against things that are going on over there. But you know, here we are 10 years later and they're still blowing stuff up and shooting and killing. And how are they doing that? Because, I mean, most of the ones that started out 10 years ago in that group are probably dead by now. They've probably been killed. How are they still going? Because they've persuaded others to follow their cause. They're more evangelistic than we are. And their whole goal is, hey, come be part of us so we can fight and die. And our whole goal is, come be part of us so that we can fight and live eternally. And yet, they're getting more converts than we are. Why? Maybe because we're not out there trying to persuade others to follow our cause. Titus 2:14 says, "He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Are we zealous? Or are we at ease in Zion? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That makes it sound like something worth having. And it ought to be something that we want to share with others, but so many times we keep it to ourselves. We'll tell everybody about our favorite football team, about the car we've got, about our new refrigerator, about the new house we built. You name it, we'll tell them about some new candy or food or hamburger place we tried. We'll tell everybody about everything. Well, you ought to go, you ought to try this. But when it comes to the church, we don't want to say anything about it. Why? When we'll talk to people about everything else, why would we not talk to them about the thing that ought to be the most important? That ought to be the thing that drives us through life. And yet so many times, we aren't even trying to persuade others to our cause, even though it's the greatest cause there is. But then the last thing that we want to look at is that God wants rebels who will sacrifice anything for their cause. Unfortunately, sometimes we're those who won't sacrifice anything for our cause. We've got to sacrifice. We've got to dig deep. We've got to go above and beyond. Jesus talked about going the extra mile. He never promised following Him would be easy. He never promised there wouldn't be problems or challenges. And He certainly never promised that we wouldn't have sacrifices to make. But a lot of times we're kind of like the pig and the chicken. And the pig and the chicken were talking, and the chicken says to the pig, "You know, there's this good cause. They're feeding the hungry. And I think we should join in on that." And the pig says, "Oh, that's a good idea. What should we do?" And the chicken says, "Well, I tell you what. How about we provide them with bacon and eggs?" And the pig says, "I don't think so. Because for you that's a donation, but for me that's a total sacrifice." See, God calls on us to make the total sacrifice. He wants us to give Him our all, 100% of everything that we are and that we have is His. And when we are sold out like that, and we won't sell out to anyone else because we are owned by Him, then we'll sacrifice anything. We'll give up anything for the cause we believe in. Acts chapter 4 and verses 18 through 21, they called them, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot help but speak the things we have seen and heard." And when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding nothing that they could punish them in because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. They had healed somebody, and everybody had seen the guy healed. And so they knew there wasn't anything they could do about it. But they were willing to sacrifice. And we see the apostles in the first century, and the Christians in the first century, making all kinds of sacrifices. When the persecution started and the Christians were scattered, do you think they all wanted to leave their homes? No, they didn't want to leave. But they were willing to, and they were willing to sacrifice that because of what they believed in. What about you this morning? Are you the kind of rebel God wants? Or do you still have somewhere in you some loyalty to the God of this world that hasn't been purged out, and that needs to be purged out of your life? Are you ready to make some sacrifices for Him? Are you ready to give Him everything you've got and go 100% gung-ho, no matter what, I'm following Jesus? Are you ready to speak up for Him to others and try to persuade them to join the cause? And I know when we read the Scriptures, we talk about the church, we don't talk about joining the church, but just to follow the same teachings and to love the same things and to believe the same things that the Bible teaches. Are we ready to do that? To try to bring others in? Or are we still following along at the heels of the worldly crowd and the religious crowd? Too afraid to be shunned or to be looked at funny or to have people whisper about us behind our back? This morning, if you need to become a rebel, God's always opened the door to expanding His rebel force. And you can do that this morning. If you're not one of His rebels, you can become one. And the way to do that is by rejecting the things of this world. After hearing and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He came and died for you, if you're willing to reject the world, repent, turn from following the God of this world and choose the living God as your God. If you're willing to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for us and was raised again, if you're willing to confess that you believe that and know that you need Him and know that you have those worldly things in your life that need to be gotten rid of, and are willing to submit yourself to be baptized to wash those sinful things out of your life, you can do that this morning. and you can become one of God's rebels. If you're here and perhaps you are one of God's rebels, but maybe you've been kind of wishy-washy, you've been kind of leaning toward leaving the force and going back to the normal way of life because the sacrifices have seemed too great, don't give up. If you need the prayers and encouragement of others, whatever your need may be, we ask that you'd respond as we stand and as we sing.